This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.
Hello, America, and welcome to the program. So glad that you are here. We have an audio flashback today that I think is just really satisfying. Liberals loving the fact that they're nuking the Senate filibuster in 2013. Oh, golly, that's not going to be good for them. That's not going to turn out well for them. Also, Elizabeth Warren was all over Ben Carson about whether the Trump family are going to profit from the HUD grants. Maybe, if we're really desperate. But we have a really good show lined up for you. It'll air next week sometime, and so we're going to just trudge through this one today. And we have Brad Meltzer joining us right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
One of my favorite guests on the program is Brad Meltzer. He is the incredible television superstar, author. He saves Superman's house. He does all these great things. And then he slums it once in a while with us. And we're glad to have him here. Brad, how are you, sir?
I was going to thank you for lowering your standards by having me on.
Well, see, then we think alike. We think alike. So, Brad, last time
you knew me since I had hair. That's how long you know me.
the last time you were on, you found, or you thought you had found, and you were about to release all the information, the 9/11 flag, the flag that is in that famous picture with the firefighters at the World Trade Center. Most people don't know this, but it was lost or stolen. Which was it, Brad?
It was actually, no one knows is the real answer. It went to the hands, the person who actually took it says that someone gave it to her, but no one can verify that part of the story. What we know is she then took it and gave it to someone who was a flag collector. And that flag collector saw me on television talking about that this is the part I could never tell you them, is that I went to the History Channel. I said to them, I'm going to find artifacts by telling their stories on TV. And they said, what are you going to find? I said, I don't know, but America is going to always surprise us. And I told the story of the flag from 9/11 that the firefighters raised to ground zero. And 4 days later on our show, Lost History, a man walks into a fire station and Everett Washington in Washington State. He says, I saw the show Lost History. It was 4 days later of the first show. He says, and I want to bring this flag back. It belongs back here. So I had told you the story that we had found the flag. We authenticated the flag. We got to, on the 15th anniversary of 9/11, unveil that flag in the 9/11 museum where it sits to this day under glass. And now kids can go see proof that real heroes exist. But here's the part I can tell you is when I did the show,
did you have to kill a man to get the flag? I mean, let's soup this story up a bit.
I would have killed a man to get that flag at that point. There's no question I wanted that sucker back.
Right.
But when I told the story on TV, I said I wanted it back for my friend Michelle Heidenberger, who was a flight attendant who died in the Pentagon crash.
Wow.
And that was who I said, I know there were thousands of people who died. I couldn't focus on them all. It was too much horror, but I could focus on my friend. And on TV, I said, I want it back for her. Now the flag comes back. We unveil it at the 9/11 museum with the head of the museum. The head of the fire department there says to me, Brad, I can't believe it worked. I'm like, I know, I can't believe it either. And when it's done, I said, the guy actually finally stepped forward.
The guy from Everett.
Yeah, the guy from Everett had wanted his identity a secret. He didn't want anyone to know who he was. He identified himself as a former Marine. But he said now that we unveiled it and the story was out, he wanted to make sure the record was correct. So I went to law enforcement, went to the guys at History Channel, I said, can I contact him? I want to say thank you on behalf of the American people. And before I called him, before we unveiled it, I called my friend Michelle Heidenberger's husband, who lost his wife in 9/11. I said, I want you to know we brought it back. We're going to unveil this, and I brought it back for your wife. That's who I did this for. I just want you to know that privately. So now I contact the Marine, and I said, I just want to say thank you on behalf of the American people. And he said to me this, Glenn. He said, I've never told this story on the air anywhere. He said, do you want to know why I returned it? I didn't even ask him. I just said, thank you. He says, I want to know why you brought it back. And he said, because when you were talking on television, you mentioned your friend who died in 9/11. And I just couldn't stop thinking about it when you told that story. And that's why I brought it back as a her. And I was like, that's exactly who I was searching for it for. And it was one of the most amazing endings that if I ever wrote it in one of my thrillers, my editor would say, no one will believe it.
And if you you would have said, I want that back for the 3,000 people who lost their lives
right.
on 9/11. That would not have
nothing.
Had the
it
effect.
Wouldn't have made a dent.
No. It just wouldn't have, because we don't respond
so,
that way.
So tell me, Brad, and I don't want to disparage this guy at all. I mean, what he did was heroic and honorable. Is he a wealthy flag collector or just a guy who collects flags?
No, and here's where you're going to do. I did the same thing you just did, which I was like, what did he get that he brought it back? Right?
I actually don't think that. I have another question, but go ahead.
No, and here's the thing that's going to make you love the guy.
You're a bad person, Brad, for thinking that.
You really are, Brad. Really, really, we're
really
superior.
Really guilty, all right? I'm a bad person.
We wanted to have you on today because everybody, you know, they're going into a weekend and we want them to know you are still better than
Brad Meltzer.
Yeah, I mean, you are.
Right. whatever the bar is, I'm lower than that bar. And but here's what happens is we offered a $10,000 reward. For bringing it back, and to this day he won't take the reward. He doesn't want
it.
He said he just wants to do it because it's the right thing to do. And however he got it, everyone doubts, you know, you can say whatever you want, but the guy had the money, the check was already written, and he wouldn't take it, and he still hasn't taken it.
Wow.
He wouldn't take the reward money, $10,000, and he won't take it. That's really incredible.
That's really great.
So, I wonder if it's possible to accept it on his behalf.
The reason I love it is that that's what the flag is, right? It's you know, symbols. And when you go to museums are like giant books. They tell stories. An object, you know, Glenn and I, we always talked about for many years, the power of an object. And an object in a museum is also like a story. Mm-hmm. And like the best stories don't just entertain you. They tell you something about us as people. And they show us what we're capable of. And that's what that artifact is, right? It shows us, it's like a mirror, and it shows us who we are. And it shows us that doing the right thing and being a real hero is possible. And when kids go see in the 9/11 museum now that flag, they can see that what a real hero can do in a real life situation.
So the Mercury Museum that we have this unbelievable D-Day flag that is just awe-inspiring, landed on the beaches on D-Day. And that flag was supposed to be sold at auction. It was expected to sell for $25,000. It ended up selling for $400 and something, a flag that is not nearly as impressive as the D-Day flag that we have. Just sold at auction. We just saw it for $575,000.
Oh my gosh.
How much?
What you're saying is that we shouldn't have paid $10,000.
Yes. How much do you, I don't think it could be sold. It would have to stay in his family to be able to be sold, or it would have to stay privately held. And I think it would be grotesque until about 50 years from now. But at some point, I mean, how much do you think that flag would be worth if it was sold on the open market?
Well, I can tell you, because to get the flag to the museum, we actually found the flag 2 years ago. It took us a year to authenticate it. The other year was spent trying to extricate it from the insurance claim that was made against it when it went missing. And all that paperwork, it was an insurance company, and you know, Chubb kindly paid the claim, took the money back, and then they were the ones who actually donated to the museum. At this point, I forget the number. Let's say it was $50,000 to $100,000. But obviously, that was because that was what was paid in September of 2001.
Oh, my gosh.
What it's worth now is, you know, it's the most famous. Mm. That flag is the most famous flag of the 21st century. And someone
sure.
said to us, beside the Iwo Jima flag, sure. it's the most recognizable flag that currently exists.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It's the flag from 9/11 and the Iwo Jima flag are the two that people know more than any other. Maybe the moon flag, they said, was a third.
So Chubb,
those were it.
That one's hard to retrieve, though. The one on the
yeah,
moon.
No, you're gonna it's yeah. gonna it's gonna cost a hell of a lot to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
The one on the moon.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
A few dollars.
All you have to do, all you have to do, is go to a movie studio in Hollywood and pick that thing up. I was gonna say.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm at a studio in Hollywood. I'm literally from Los Angeles today, so I probably can find one cheap for you
yeah.
here.
Yeah, I mean, it's still on the soundstage.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you just they put bungee cords on Armstrong, and that's the way they did that. I mean, we all know they didn't actually go to the moon. You've got a new book out. You are more prolific than I am.
What do you write, like 19 books a year? Is that what it is now?
Well, the thing is, I started writing children's books because I realized I can write far faster when I just write books with 30 pages in them. And I feel much more accomplished.
You've got this one out, and all of them are, you know, I am George Washington, I'm Abe Lincoln, yada, yada. This one is I'm Jim Henson. Why was Henson important for you to do?
You know, and listen, it's the same reason why we did this series. It's my kids. When my son, who loves baseball, I did I Am Jackie Robinson for him because I looked at reality TV show stars and people who are famous for being famous. And, you know, our kids are being fed garbage through their eyeballs every day with each refresh. And it's enough. So I gave him I Am Jackie Robinson. My daughter loves our dog, loves animals. I did I Am Jane Goodall for her. But my son is a creator, loves to color. And I was like, who do I get that's creative for him? We did I Am Jim Henson. And Jim Henson, you know, for those who don't know, is the creator of the Muppets and Sesame Street.
Do you think that...
And what I...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, and to me, when I was 5 years old, Jim Henson on Sesame Street taught me that you could use your creativity to put good into this world. Hmm. And that's all we're trying to do with this series is I use my own creativity, hoping to try and put a little more good in this world by giving our kids real heroes they could look up
so
to.
So you're saying I Am Kim Kardashian is next.
We'll never... ever. I will be a dead man before that happens, right?
And we'll kill you if you do it. So
right. I mean, you thought I would kill for the flag.
Right. We'll kill you if you make that book. Brad,
right.
Jim Henson, is he the genius because he came up with great characters? He came up with a system? He changed puppets? What is it that you think is his main gift?
Yeah, so here are my two. One is I love teaching my kids how he got his start because Jim Henson wanted to be in television and he wanted, you know, your job and he wanted to be in TV and he went to the TV station and said, you know, kind of a job. They said no, he was dejected, he was devastated and he saw an ad that they had for puppeteers. Went to the library, checked out a book on puppetry, came back to the exact same place and says, I'm a puppeteer, will you hire me? And I want my kids to know that if you see an obstacle, you go around it. My kids need, you know, our kids today, they don't learn that. We create these paper-thin kids and a wind blows and they get knocked over. And so that's one. Is like, you know, Kermit the Frog and Ernie and those are fine, but it's how you get there. You have to fail, and that's how you rise. And the bigger thing, though, for me when it comes to the Muppets is, you know, listen, the Muppets and Ernie and Bert, they're nostalgia. And nostalgia is a trap. Just because it's old doesn't mean it's good. But when I went back and looked at it, what I love about Jim Henson is his strength is not that he does a funny voice or that he does a cute song. What I love is that there's an undercurrent that cuts through the Muppets and Sesame Street, and it's the idea about being good, that being good and kindness and generosity and creating and dreaming, these are ideas that should never get old. And I will never apologize for being a do-gooder. I think we apologize for that today. We make it like something that you should look down on. I will never ever apologize for being a do-gooder. And I love that Jim Henson stands for that. And I think especially where we are in this world right now, we need to remind our kids that you don't need a reality show. You don't need to be famous for being famous. Just do good to other people, right? Well, we go to the Bible for it, right? It's as biblical as it gets. And that's what the undercurrent and the beauty of what he offered is. He fed that message to everyone through, of all things, little green puppets and talking frogs.
You can follow Brad Meltzer at Brad Meltzer, his new book is I Am Jim Henson. It's a children's book with 30 pages, and it's really good. The whole series is really good. and one of the best guests we can ever have because he always brings something really fascinating from history onto the program with. You know what? You're like the guy that used to bring the monkey on Johnny Carson. That's who you are.
I'm just without the monkey. I'm just, or maybe I am.
That's right. That's right.
I got to tell you this. This is the craziest thing that happened, and I know you'll appreciate it.
Okay, hang on, because I've got to take a network break, and then we'll come back and you can tell us. Okay. Today is Friday the 13th. Yay. We're supposed to have an unlucky day. When it comes to your stocks, Friday the 13th is actually historically a better day than average for stocks. Yeah. But even knowing that, you know how Friday the 13th ends. Somebody is hacked to death. And at some point, you're going to get hacked to death in the stock market. Have you considered 10% of your investment into gold? You have an IRA or 401k. Mm-hmm. You can, and Goldline will help you do this. Transfer some of it out of the bogus paper, because really, you're seeing the beginnings of massive inflation in the stock market. This is a bogus market. It's not connected to anything except the money printing of the Fed and the banks and all the big guys having the money, putting it into the stock market. That's what's happening now. Buy with confidence with Goldline's Price Guarantee Program. Goldline has helped people own gold for more than half a century. They have their own risk information to see if buying gold or silver is right for you. Make sure you read it and check it out. Call them at 866-465-3546, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. Brad Meltzer is back with us. Brad. Brad, are you there?
Yep.
Calling all Brads. Brad Meltzer, are you there? Can you hear me?
I love you.
Can you hear me? Okay, good. We got it.
Yours now.
So I'm sorry, Brad. Now. It's Friday and we're all screwing off.
I understand.
Yeah. So you were talking about something that we weren't really paying attention to?
Yes. No, well, why should today be any different than any other day, right?
Right.
we call that usually Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday as well. This is something that I actually thought you of all people would appreciate.
All
and
right.
That is, you know, we love talking about how history and its impact. And you know, history is not just a collection of the best stories, but it's us. That's what history is. And one of the things we realized as we were telling these in our I Am books, so here we put them out. We want to give parents a way to teach their kids and give them real heroes. As the run-up to the election is happening, all of a sudden there's a spike in our series of kids' books. And we're like, what's going on? And I'm not talking about like a little spike of like 10%. 50%. We're up 91% from the year before as the election is coming. And we're like, what's going on? We did no more promotion, no more advertising. And then the week of the election, there's a spike in two books in particular. I Am Martin Luther King Jr. and I Am Rosa Parks. And we know right there in that moment, and I know, you know, we can claim it's a Democrat Republican thing, but it's basically families on both sides who are looking at TV every night and saying, I don't want my kids looking anymore at politicians. I need to show my kids forget politicians. I need to show my kids leaders. And they start buying. And I can tell you this, that since Donald Trump has been elected, I Am Martin Luther King Jr. has become our number one male hero that we do. And in fact, today on Amazon, right before I got on here, it's sold out. And it's as he's been going up, it's amazing. All these parents on both sides are buying these stories of compassion and these stories of tolerance to give their kids. And what I love about it is it's not a Republican-Democrat thing. It's that families out there realize that whoever is there, that there's a difference between a politician and a leader, and it's in our hands that we need to teach our kids the better way to do things. And I love that power is out there, and it's a mathematical fact. I love it.
Can I ask you a question about, there's a video out there with you and Barbara Bush where you have dressed as Lucy and because your book, The I Am Lucy, and she is there, and you recreate the chocolate belt, you know, episode with you playing Lucy and Barbara Bush. How did you get?
Okay, so
did you threaten to throw her out of the plane, or
1 minute?
1 minute. 1 minute.
In 1 minute, basically, we recreated the chocolate conveyor belt scene with former First Lady, and for literacy, we did it for my book, I Am Lucille Ball. The best part of it the staff didn't tell her what she was doing. So she's like, what are we doing, Brad? And I said, oh my gosh, I have to tell this lady now that I'm going to eat 1,000 chocolates in the president's office. So she's reading I Am Lucille Ball. I'm eating 1,000 chocolates. And the best part of the whole thing is when it's done, she's like, she's so funny in the video. So put in Brad Meltzer and Lucille Ball into YouTube. But at the end of it, she says, how you doing? I said, I'm doing so great. I had the biggest sugar rush I ever had in my life. I had 1,000 chocolates. So I had new respect for Lucille Ball, who must have eaten 1,000 chocolates herself.
Brad, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, back in just a second.
Listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
888-727-BECK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. I want you to remember this phrase during this next portion of the program. Mm-hmm. I am not the man I want to be. I'm not the man I need to be. But I'm not the man I was.
It's beautiful.
Okay? I want everybody to remember that, because we're going to talk about the Jeffy of Pakistan now.
This is a man who is, he's not quite Jeffy, but he's working on it.
Yes.
He's working on it. He's half a ton.
What?
68 stone, which I had to look it up because I have no idea the British stone.
Translates to about 900.
952 pounds.
Right.
Thank you for knowing that.
Right, well,
Glenn, that's very
I
impressive.
Know my stones.
That's very
I've
impressive.
Passed a few.
Yeah.
The guy eats 7 pounds of meat every day. He eats 36 eggs just for breakfast. 3 dozen eggs.
36
that's incredible.
Eggs?
For breakfast. He drinks 1.5 gallons every day of milk.
Yeah, you don't get to 952 pounds by not eating no,
that's right.
Eggs for breakfast.
That's right.
Oh, no.
Really? Because, wait a minute. Because, all right, 7 pounds of meat is a lot of meat. I mean, we're all gonna,
it's a lot of meat.
Every person.
36
every,
eggs is a lot of eggs. Well,
that's what I'm saying. Every normal fat guy has eaten, let's say, 1 pound of meat at dinner.
Yes.
At
some in point a single sitting. Sitting.
Right?
Oh, sure. My gosh. Sure.
So, okay. So that's a normal person. And you have to do that for every meal, right? And that gets you to 3 pounds. The guy's 900 pounds. He can do double, right? What a normal person would do.
I don't think it's this.
You can see getting to 7 pounds. It's not even remotely close to get to 36 eggs in one meal.
No.
I mean, that's incredible.
It's insane.
Yeah, you will never hear him say, oh, no, I've had enough.
Well, unless he gets the 36 eggs, then he's like, yeah, you know what?
What does this guy do to be able?
It's ridiculous.
Seriously, what does this guy do to be able to afford this life?
That's what I was wondering too, because you hear about these incredibly large people that eat this kind of quantity, and I don't know. Do
you
they
can't
have,
work?
Well,
do
they don't
have
go
a
anywhere.
Foundation that raises food for them.
Well,
I don't know.
The Rock is able to do it, but I understand how he pays for it. How does the Jeffy of Pakistan pay for that?
Well, I mean, in the story, he works for it. He does work for it, right?
Yeah, he
does. Wait. I want to seriously know. A 900-pound man can move?
Oh, yeah.
And then if this guy is actually moving.
He's supposed
moving,
to be really strong, too. And he, like they said, he can stop a tractor. If you
you run into him?
No. No. They tie a rope around the tractor, and then he holds onto the rope, and then the tractor tries to back away.
That's just a sad tractor.
I don't know. Maybe. Are you sure? Maybe it's not John
Deere.
That's
really, I mean, that shows you where the entertainment level is in Pakistan, where they're like, hey, get the local fat guy. See if he can stop the tractor.
He claims to have lifted 10,000 pounds in some Japanese competition.
Are you sure you just didn't fall for some like really bad superhero movie promotion? Like they're just like leaking videos of like some stack guy.
I'd be surprised if he's 952 pounds and moving. I mean, I can see how do you do that?
Well, he's 6'3", so he carries it really well.
Oh, he carries it.
Well, I mean, there's not very many of us athletically overweight people around.
Seriously, people don't know this. Jeffy is 5 pounds away. He loses 5 pounds, he's totally cut. That's solid muscle underneath him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about an experiment in which we see if...
Hang on. I'm not the man I want to be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not the man I need to be.
Right.
But I'm not the man I was.
Oh, okay. I understand.
Okay.
Mike.
Just wanted you to think of that before you make this comment.
Oh, no, this is not bad.
Okay.
So Jeffy, I was thinking, because the guy's stopping a vehicle, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. he's so big. What if we attempted to do the same with Jeffy? Minor twist on it. We would just drive the car at him. And to see if he stopped it when the contact was made,
right.
or would the car continue to go?
Well, it's science.
Over
it's
him.
Science.
If the car continued to go, then
it would never get over him. It would be like one of those things where the front of the car. Oh my gosh!
I'm not the man I want to be.
I'm not the man. See, it's good that I remembered
right,
that because
that.
I started to play.
You did.
I started to play.
And for us, we're still stuck on the science of the whole thing.
So how do you get to 900 pounds without an enabler?
Well, you have to have an enabler because at some
point... You have one. It's your wife.
Well, but...
Not to that level.
No, because it...
She doesn't want you a buck over 800.
Right. And she, I mean, she does appreciate me actually being able to move.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, even...
Just not real fast.
Because he has to...
Right.
Well,
but I'm just saying
say
at some point...
You're not the man
right.
you
yes,
used to be.
However, I stopped it. So.
Right. So, you're.
But I'm just saying, if you become, you know, look, the by the time you're 900 pounds and you haven't, and you're just not moving, you've worked up to that. You don't just work up to.
Oh, it's like
bedridden.
Me going, you
I
know,
mean,
right. for
it
a,
takes a couple days. At one point, you lay there and you lay there for a couple of days, and then you decide, oh, I got to get up. And you get up and you bathe and you move and you realize, man, I'm going to lay down for a couple more days.
Now, what's that? What is that? That's probably 500
I mean,
pounds,
you work
right?
up. Yeah, I mean, you work up to it. And you have to really
it's
reach
like
a point.
It's like the Iron Man.
You have to reach a point at, I mean, you say, oh, I could do that.
Yeah, no.
But
I could do that.
No, you couldn't because at some point, I mean, really, you do reach, it's about four or 500 pounds where you have to make that.
Commitment.
Make that cut.
You can
either,
tell he's
I'm
done
go
serious
it,
consideration.
I'm going to go for it, or I'm going to actually not go for it because at one point it's like, just bring me chickens and wipe me off.
Oh my gosh, there it is. There he
just
is.
Bring
there
me
he
chickens
is.
And
okay.
wipe me off.
There he is.
We're seeing a picture now.
I'm seeing
this. 52 pounds.
This is incredible.
Is that amazing that he's big? He can move.
That he can move and dress in apparently Renaissance clothing.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why, but.
They didn't have skinny jeans for the guy.
Yeah,
he's 900
pounds. Yeah, no, I mean, it's the Renaissance clothing. Basically, they're like 6 blankets thrown over him.
That's
I mean,
how you dress
that's how you
when
dress.
You're 952.
That's good living at 952.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? For 900 pounds?
Yeah, he looks good.
He's actually good.
He's athletically over.
Yeah. He's probably not 900 pounds.
Says he's 68
stone.
I
don't care what it says. I'm just saying that, you know, the scales are off in Pakistan.
I see DeJeffy here. He would know this particular topic.
I mean, he's looking
well.
At that guy isn't 900.
I mean this sincerely.
It's
muscle is heavier than fat.
So maybe he's, I mean, they were saying he is really strong. Maybe he's like a bodybuilder under the layers.
Well, he's over the one of the blankets. He's got like a, you know, world wrestling
look
belt or, you know, look at that.
He wants, in fact, that's one of his goals is to be in the WWE. Another
you
of his,
would kill a man.
Another of his goals is to be the world weightlifting champion. So he wants
I
to
love
be,
this fat man.
I know. Yeah. He's got some
I mean, he's
ambition.
A guy with goals.
He's only 25.
So. Oh, that's oh sad.
Yeah.
You sold this segment completely wrong. You said he was a Pakistani Jeffy. I mean, Jeffy's not strong,
he has
athletic, no ambition.
No ambition.
He's old. I mean, every other thing other than the weight is different. He's probably he really has high ethical standards.
His story is funny. That guy's story is sad.
Right. Yeah.
He's going to die
Jeffy's story
young.
Is pretty sad. I'll say that. I mean,
No, there's there is a difference between sad and pathetic. I see. I'm not the man.
Not the man you want to.
I want to be.
At least I will say this though, for Jeffy, he can still move, so that when his wife says "get off me," he still can.
You had to get it out, didn't you?
You couldn't resist.
He's like my 14-year-old son. You tell him stop. Don't do that. No. He's still got to plow through. Still got to plow through. If there's more in there, he was
going to explode, Jeffy. He would have exploded.
It was a safety measure. It was.
There would have been pat meat all over all of us in this studio. It would have been bad.
Oh, well, then thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Seriously, when you're 900 pounds, I mean, like, how big are you when you can't, when you literally, you know, you begin to not be able to walk or get out of bed?
Jeffy?
Well, the first time was at 642.
No, seriously, about 600 pounds?
I would say 500-600, right?
Yeah.
Depends on how tall you are.
Yeah, and at that point, you know, you're starting to maybe not move a day or two. Mm-hmm. And then that just adds on. Then that's your domino effect.
You're not moving. You're eating and you're getting hosed off.
You're getting hosed off, hopefully, you know,
well, this guy,
every other day.
If he's walking around at 900, he's probably taking showers, right?
Yeah, he's not 900 pounds.
Are you like a truther on this topic?
What are you talking about?
The guy's gigantic. He's gigantic.
I don't care. He's not 900 pounds.
I mean, he is a mountain of a man.
Uh-huh. He is. Put it up again. He's completely round.
Yeah, I don't care.
He's not 900 pounds. He's moving around like that. He's not. Now, if there's something behind him holding him up, or there's a crane underneath his arms, underneath those blankets holding him up, that I believe that he's 900 pounds.
Well, what do you think he is? I mean,
seven.
Put a blanket on. Put a blanket on Jeffy. Let's see if we can.
Let's dress him like that. Like we did with the guy with the toast.
You got
on
a
blanket.
Here, stand up, Jeffy. Somebody get a fire department in here. Get Jeffy up.
I don't want that nasty.
Look at this.
No, I don't want that.
Look at what's happened.
Blanket around me.
It's very warm.
Yeah.
Is it okay?
No, that's your butt blanket.
Well, I mean, it's a blanket.
You're the only man I know that uses a butt warmer.
Oh, look at the time. Time to break.
Boy.
I like this blanket. It's 12 degrees in here.
I'm not the man I want to be.
Well, I'm not.
Why do you say that so sarcastically?
Yeah, Jeffy.
We're not the men we want to be. We're not the men
I need to be.
We need to be,
but
not the man I was.
But
you guys clearly are the men you were.
But this is the men I want to be. So,
you know, at what point did you just give up on? You're just like, I'm as good as I'm going to get, and I'm good with that.
I believe it was probably Romney Obama in that general vicinity, and since then it's been screw it.
Now this, gun companies are reporting earnings that are over 66% last year. If you're like me and you own guns, do what I do and protect them in a Liberty safe. Do your homework. There is nothing like the peace of mind that comes from owning a Liberty safe. Go to libertysafe.com and see why Liberty safes are absolutely the best. They're built here in America. How long have they been advertising with us? How many years?
Oh, wow.
10 years?
Yeah, a long time.
Long time.
Yeah.
When they joined us, they were an American company that, you know, had been making safes for a while. They believed in the same things that we believed in, and you know, they were getting ready. They were like, we'd like to grow and expand, and we think you can help. And now they're doing 500 safes. They're making and shipping out 500 safes a day, all here from America. It's a tremendous company, and the safes are the guarantee. I saw somebody Facebooked me just the other day and had a picture of them next to the safe, and I saw Brad did the same thing. I should have got a bigger one. That's the number one complaint. I should have got a bigger one, because once you start thinking of all the things that you should have in the safe, it's full. Liberty Safe. Go to libertysafe.com right now. Save $250 off with all the discounts and rebates when you buy if you use the promo code Beck. It's libertysafe.com.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
This is why you have the Blaze TV.
This is why. I mean,
yeah, we have now. There's Jeffy with blankets on him.
All right, just like the guy in Pakistan who weighs 68 stone or 952.
Okay, let me see. Could you put him? There he is. Now put him side by side with the guy who weighs 900 pounds in blankets.
I mean, it's identical.
The main difference is the color of the blankets are different.
Yeah. That's about the.
Well, I have to tell you, I don't think the weight is wrong. Jeffy weighs 900 pounds.
The other guy's about 700. Yeah.
No, I believe he weighs 900 pounds. Jeffy just weighs 900 pounds too.
Look at your arms out a little bit. I think that's.
Yeah, look at that. I mean.
Oh my gosh! Yes. Oh yeah.
There's no way that guy weighs 900 pounds.
No way.
They could be twins. These two people.
Yeah, it's as if we 3D printed the Pakistani guy and put him in the studio.
Unless that's a very light fabric that he's only wearing like a very. Very light fabric in the brown and a very light gray top. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the bulk of the blankets. So maybe those aren't blankets.
This is much more fun than talking about some hearing in Congress.
Oh. And quite honestly, more meaningful.
Yes, probably.
Well, there's no way. There is no way that guy wears 900 pounds.
I think he does.
You are jealous of him, aren't you?
You are jealous.
You're jealous of him.
Because you can't believe he's still walking around at 952 pounds.
How do you eat what he eats and weigh that much money, or weigh that much weight, and then and be healthy at all? Be able to do
the stress on your heart.
Oh my gosh!
You're questioning. You think he might be healthy?
No, but I mean, he's moving. For somebody who's weighing 900 pounds, you're moving, and you can. In his own way, move in an athletic sort of way.
Right. Well, I guess sumo wrestlers, right?
But we haven't seen him move, actually. I mean, and where he doesn't. He's, I'm telling you, he's given 900 pound people a bad name.
You're saying he's lying about being 900 pounds.
This is how he's getting his notoriety. How else do you get known in America when you're a Pakistani fat guy, but other than saying you weigh 952 pounds?
Jeffy is known all over Europe.
Right, but that's because he's 952 pounds.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's how it happens, right?
There was a story in a Pakistani paper about the American this guy. And they wrote about how Jeffy could still move, too.
No, seriously. No. They're like, this guy. And he's pissed off. He's like, that guy is not 400 pounds. He is much heavier.
When his wife says, get off me, he still can. That was their lead paragraph.
That's it?
Yeah, they didn't bury the lead. That's more right at the top. So,
how does he make money, you ask? Sell shade at the beach.
Oh, really?
Wow, that's hurtful.
That is hurtful.
Yeah, that's
hurtful.
What did that guy do to you?
Holy cow. Just because he's heavy, you don't have to make fun of him, Jeffy. My gosh. Compassion, man.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.